breaking news from women's sports to conversations between students and teachers. How new vetoes in the legislature could affect your child this school year.
The cleanup is underway and power's being restored after a sudden strong storm tore through northern Wake County. We're hearing from a family who's lived on this farm since 1953, why they say this is the worst they've ever seen.
When you go to a hospital, you don't expect to end up here. Find out how some North Carolina hospitals are collecting in the courtroom.
We're tracking who could see more showers and storms and brief relief from the big heat and humidity.
Huge cleanup, homes damaged, roads and schools closed, thousands still in the dark. Communities are cleaning up 24 hours now after powerful storms made their way across our area.
Some of the worst damage was in Durham, where a 78-year-old woman was killed when a tree fell on her car. Thanks for being with us tonight. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Right now, more than 34,000 people are still without power across the state. 27,000 outages in Durham alone.
That's largely because more than 70 mile per hour wind gusts swept through part of the Bull City at one point. On either side of the county line between Wake and Granville counties, widespread debris to clean up and damage to repair.
You can see the video. This is from Sky 5. The trees that fell over like dominoes in the woods along Boyce Road. This is near Falls Lake. WRL's Matt Tallhelm shows us how people who live in that area are beginning to recover now from that sudden storm.
Boyce Road is still closed to traffic here, and you can see why. There's this big tree that took down a power pole with it. It's blocking part of the road here and all these power lines all along the road here. Everywhere you look at this part of Wake County, right along the Granville County line, you see this kind of damage and the cleanup underway.
Everyone rushes to respond. When you've lived in the same community for 70 years, like Sue Keith Woodleaf.
I happen to have a dear friend that is a tree cutter, and he came to my rescue. And then I have another friend who is a roofer.
Those friends are making fast progress, turning fallen trees into sawdust that floats like snowflakes through the air, and fixing barn roofs ripped open like the lids of a can.
This is the worst that I've ever experienced in my lifetime, and I will be 80 in November.
The winds toppled trees onto power lines all along Creedmoor Road. Repairs are underway to reconnect hundreds of homes nearby.
The trees were sitting way up over there, and it just snapped them off. Just like it was nothing, it just snapped them.
Tammy Davis only had seconds.
I ran.
When she heard what she thought was hail.
And it was pine cones hitting the roof, flying off the trees.
Before these towering trees crashed through her bedroom in the home she's rented here since 1999.
You always wonder why people don't get this and that, but you really don't think about grabbing all this stuff when something like that happens. I didn't think about nothing but my dogs.
Davis's dogs followed her to safety.
Everybody's okay.
But now they're all searching for a place to stay after a storm took away so much in only a few moments.
If they can't fix it, I'm going to have to move, and I have no idea where I'm going to move or how I'm going to move.
So many power poles like that are snapped because of those strong winds and the big trees that fell on top of them here. A construction supervisor for Wake Electric Co-op tells me their work to make all these repairs should be done tomorrow. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Wake County.
Such a stressful situation. Wake County Emergency Management tells us there were no reports of storm-related injuries. In Durham, though, multiple trees are still down in an area where a 78-year-old was killed. Officials say a tree fell on Donna Warsaw's SUV at Moorhead Avenue and Anderson Street in Durham. At last check, power crews were working on downed power lines. WRAL spoke with someone who lives in the area about what happened.
I never mess with weather anyway, but I definitely take it very, very seriously now.
Crews say it could be 2 days before the intersection is back to normal. You can find extensive coverage of this storm and the damage it left behind, along with the latest power outage numbers at WRAL.com.
Let's take a live look now at the North Carolina Legislative Building. This is where state lawmakers have overridden now six vetoes by Governor Roy Cooper. Those bills now become state law. One would ban doctors from providing gender-affirming care to transgender minors. That includes hormones, even with parental consent. Another bill the Parents' Bill of Rights. This bans teachers from discussing sexual orientation or gender identity until the fifth grade. It also requires schools to inform parents if a child asks to use different pronouns. Representative John Autry has a transgender granddaughter. He asked lawmakers not to override the governor's veto.
My head is spinning because we want parents' Bill of Rights, except unless they're seeking gender-affirming care for their children who are in grave need of that care.
Other bills enacted by override tonight include a ban on transgender girls in girls and women's sports, a bill loosening rules on charter schools, and a law allowing tax dollars to be used to pay for charter school buildings. WRAL's Mark Boyle has some brand new reaction coming into the WRAL Live Center. Mark.
Dan, good evening. All new here at 7 o'clock. Governor Roy Cooper responding to what happened there in downtown Raleigh just a couple of hours ago. He says that Republican lawmakers here in the state really aren't focused on the right things. Here's part of the statement just released. It reads in part, these are the wrong priorities, especially when they should be working nights and weekends, if necessary, to get a budget passed by the end of the month. Again, Governor Cooper really not being able to do too much right now with the Republican majority in place there. All of this now goes to the Senate. Back to you.
All right, Mark, thank you. 106 people are confirmed dead from the Maui wildfires. Thousands survived, but look at all of this. Lost everything. Among them are two women originally from our state. Maggie Venters and her cousin Carly moved from Wrightsville Beach into this house. After the fire, well, you saw that's all that was left. Maggie was on the island at the time of the fire. She says her friends ran into the house at the last second to save her cat.
There were power lines down. There was flames everywhere. And there was a power line blocking my neighborhood. And my friend said she literally almost got out of her car and ran to my house just to get my cat out because it was coming in so fast. And then she said, I have your cat. We just left your house. Like, we barely made it out.
She says she is thankful many of her neighbors survived as well.
Hospitals in North Carolina sued thousands of patients to collect on unpaid medical bills. Also, some of these people didn't even know they had been sued until they discovered a lien on their properties. WRAL's Shelley Jackson spoke with people who are explaining that to them this is very dangerous.
North Carolina hospital patients who don't pay their bill could find themselves here in a courtroom.
Many patients don't even know there's a lawsuit against them, and the hospital wins in default. According to Sarah Sternberg Green with the Duke University School of Law, that can have a colossal impact on a family's wealth.
In North Carolina, judgments automatically act as liens against a patient's home.
Barack Richmond, also with the Duke University School of Law, says not all hospitals bring their patients to court. Atrium, Caremont, Sampson Regional Medical Center, Community Health Systems, and Mission make up the majority, 96% of hospitals collecting medical bills in the courtroom.
It also doesn't mean that other hospital systems are not engaging in collection activities that we would find quite troublesome. But these are the hospital systems that disproportionately have been using North Carolina courts to sue patients to collect on medical debt.
Richmond also says those lawsuits are concentrated in five of North Carolina's 100 counties. With more than 4,400 lawsuits filed in Gaston, Mecklenburg, Sampson, Cabarrus, and Iredell counties. For many, there's little recourse.
Once there is that judgment, it's hard, you know, that's on their credit report. That has affected their credit score.
According to North Carolina Treasurer Dale Falwell, patients are being held accountable for something they have no control over.
The consumers, the citizens of the state have absolutely no choice in this matter, and that's why it's so deadly.
Now, researchers say the Medical Debt Deweaponization Act could help out with these hospital bills. It has passed the Senate and is now waiting in the House. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
You could soon see a lot fewer CBD and hemp products at your neighborhood convenience store. State House lawmakers are considering cracking down on them. A bill that passed a key committee this morning would ban the sale of any CBD, hemp, or kratom product to anyone under 18. It would also require businesses that sell those items to pay to be licensed by the state. That could make those products harder to find. One of the lawmakers proposing this bill says he thinks the products need to be regulated.
what is it now? The story of Servicestation heroin they got, or trash can heroin. There's all kind of products you can buy at convenience stores in North Carolina that I really don't feel like need to be sold to people, especially anywhere close to minors.
Businesses that sell CBD or kratom products to minors could face fines, but underage minors that try to buy them would face criminal charges. The bill still has a long way to go before becoming law.
COVID cases are climbing once again in our area. Meanwhile, the number of hospital beds is going down. Ahead, WRL data trackers look at why those beds are becoming harder to find. Plus, keeping kids safe in the classroom this school year is something so many parents are thinking about. We're going to take you inside today's discussion in Wake County. Kat?
We finally had a break for all the power crews out there working hard to get the power back on. 85 degrees right now. I'll let you know where we could see a few storms fire up tomorrow coming up.
Back right now in the WRL Live Center, this alert going out about 5 minutes ago to students and faculty in Durham. No school again tomorrow. On your screen, this is the release just going out. Due to continued widespread power outages that are impacting Durham County, there will be no school for students tomorrow. DPS will operate on a two-hour delay for all employees. We talked about the power outage situation. In addition to all those trees down, the buses are going to have a hard time getting around, the schools without power, and of course, those folks at home. When we zoom in closer, we're talking about the power situation right now in Durham. There are still tens of thousands without power. I want to go county by county and look at what looks like in Durham. These are the most updated numbers right here at 7:15. 25,818 customers without power. This time last night, that number was closer to 70,000. So crews are definitely making progress, but it is slow. They're hoping to have much better restoration by around 2 or 3 o'clock tomorrow morning, but that number, that time, is likely to change. Back to you.
Second straight day of classes canceled. Thanks, Mark. Four people's deaths may be connected to recalled dehumidifiers. A company called Gree manufactured the appliances, but they were sold under popular names like Frigidaire, GE, Kenmore, and others. Five on Your Side found Gree has put out several recalls for millions of these dehumidifiers over the last 10 years. These appliances have overheated and caught fire thousands of times and are suspected of starting house fires that have killed a total of four people. The latest recall was announced today and includes an additional 1.5 million dehumidifiers. Five on Your Side is posting the full list on WREL.com. Just search recall.
COVID cases are rising again at a time when we're seeing Triangle Hospital. Hospitals have fewer and fewer beds available, but does one equal the other? WRL's investigative data journalist Allie Ingersoll is looking into if the virus is behind the cause.
It's another week that we're looking into COVID, and that's because metrics are up once again. For the sixth straight week, hospital admissions for COVID patients increased. Zooming out, though, you can see that they're nowhere near our peak. So I started asking, if admissions are about a fifth of what they were when COVID was at its worst, why are there so few beds available in hospitals around the Triangle?
COVID-19 is still with us, and we're going to continue to see COVID-19 trends rise and fall.
Wake County's epidemiology program manager, Morgan Poole, says the county is in communication with hospital systems, letting them know about trends like the uptick in the virus's prevalence in wastewater. The amount collected last week was the fourth highest this year, a sign that the virus is in communities all over the state.
They are aware of the situation and can address a capacity needs.
And many hospitals around our area are nearing capacity. Using federal health data, looking at the average number of inpatient beds used compared to those available, I was able to make this map. The darker the color and bigger the circle, the more beds that are full. Duke University and Duke Regional are both operating near full capacity at 99% and 97%, respectively, data shows. Wake Med in Raleigh and Cary, as well as Cape Fear, also have very few beds available. The recent COVID uptick isn't the reason, though, according to multiple sources at different hospitals around the region. It's just business as usual. Elective surgeries are back on the books, as well as usual care and treatment. That, on top of a growing population in the area, especially with older North Carolinians, is what's leading to our current occupancy rates, I'm told.
And while COVID isn't the cause for so many beds being full, so many of these dark circles on this map, my sources said that seeing a significant increase in patients would definitely strain an already stressed system. For WRAL News, I'm Allie Ingersoll.
Keeping students safe in the classroom is the focus of Wake County's annual School Resource Officer Summit. The program brings together law enforcement and school safety leaders from across the county. The goal is to discuss strategies for keeping students safe on campus and responding to potential threats. Officials say one of the new tools they'll use on campuses is the upgraded visitor background check system, taking effect this fall.
And it gives us an opportunity to have that SRO and that administrator sitting at the table together, hearing the same information.
Safety leaders say school security is becoming more difficult, but sessions like this help them protect children and teachers.
An important warning here for people visiting Cape Lookout. Listen up, the National Park Service says that the gap between Shark Island and Cape Lookout has started to connect with a narrow sandbar only at low tide. The Park Service posted this screenshot from Google pointing to that area there. Keep in mind, in the last 2 weeks, on two separate occasions, visitors have become trapped, and the rescue operation is very tricky. It requires first responders from multiple agencies. In addition to the risk of getting stranded, the currents, they say, are extremely strong and can easily pull a person out to sea.
Well, a much-needed break in the weather for all of those folks who are cleaning up after yesterday's storm, but also just for all of us being able to have a bit of relief, Kat, from the humidity yesterday.
It felt better today, certainly. It's not feeling like fall or anything like that yet, but we'll take any lowering of the dew point we can get. In Durham, not feeling like a sauna when you walk outside today. It was still hot. High temperatures managed to climb into the 90s, but Durham needs any relief they can get, especially with folks still without air conditioning tonight. It is a pretty nice evening outside. 85 the current temperature, a dew point of 66 in Durham. The dew point in the 60s now in Roxborough, as well as Southern Pines. Temperatures in the 80s for everyone. I do want to point out our eastern county still dealing with more humid air. And unfortunately, I think that this more humid air is going to spread inland during the day tomorrow, but it's not going to last for long. We see another drop in humidity for the start of the weekend. The same front that brought us the severe storms yesterday is sitting over eastern North Carolina. It does not have the same atmospheric setup to not causing the severe weather we saw yesterday, but it could spark a few additional showers and storms as it really begins to fizzle out and wash out tonight and tomorrow. Futurecast showing this evening some storms staying mainly to our east. We could see an isolated shower spread inland overnight. We'll keep an eye on that potential. Tomorrow morning, I did want to point out it is possible that we could see a stray shower storm in our eastern counties even in the morning. I think that the much better chance would be at the coast. Just a heads up on that, though, we do have a 20% chance for rain in the morning. In case this particular run of Futurecast verifies, better chances, though, would come during the afternoon. It's still spotty. There's not very many showers and storms. They're not likely to be severe tomorrow. Just a heads up, some pretty typical summertime weather in store tomorrow, where we could see just a few pop-up storms. Here's a closer look at tomorrow's forecast. More clouds in the morning for us. Temperatures in the mid to upper 70s to start, 84 by lunchtime, and back up to 90 for the high during the afternoon. Unfortunately, we've got to talk about the tropics again. There are three systems to watch in the Atlantic, plus a tropical storm. You can see it pretty well in the eastern Pacific. That could impact and bring a lot of moisture to the southwest U.S. But let's zoom in on the Atlantic with the two systems that have the best chances of developing right now. You got this system right here. This is where the center is. It's got about a 50% chance of developing as it moves to the northwest. This one looking pretty healthy, a 40% chance of developing as it moves to the northwest. This one right here would be less likely to be a threat. This one's still not likely to be a threat, but it's something that bears watching. And in the Gulf of Mexico, we don't have anything really showing up yet, but as we get into next week, there's about a 20% chance that something may try to develop in the Gulf. And the ocean temperatures are just so warm there. It's going to be something to watch. I think things could spin up pretty fast. We'll keep you up to date. As of right now, no imminent threats for us in North Carolina. Tomorrow, a 30% storm chance with a high of 90, up to 93 on Friday, but 90 on Saturday with a nice drop in humidity, mostly sunny skies. Looks like Saturday is going to be a pretty nice start to the weekend, but the heat is back by early next week.
All right, Kat, thank you.
Still ahead, a new mural in Johnston County is the largest one yet. Gorgeous. The story behind this artwork and what it took to bring it to life. The Johnston County town of Benson has unveiled a beautiful piece of art. The latest piece of public art there is amazing.
It depicts the diversity of the people who use the park. This mural on the side of the Lee Street Gym is the third in the town this year. It's also the largest. The artist says it took about 30 gallons of paint and 150 cans of spray paint as well.
The talent you have to do that.
I know. Look at all that shading and everything.
Amazing.
Hey, we love a little cuteness factor here at 7 o'clock. Here are some adorable video of a baby sea turtle leaving his nest on Hatteras Island.
Cue the seagulls.
Come on.
No, I'm sure they're protecting this guy. They got some umbrellas up or something.
Man.
Camp Hatteras National Seashore shared this short little video of the little guy working his way to the water. He is a Kemp Ridley sea turtle. And just get out there and have some fun, pal. How big do they get, you think? They'd be pretty big.
I don't know. I'm still stuck on your seagull.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. We have really enjoyed having the gorgeous plant in our garden and having you all come to see it, that century plant. Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we want to show it to you one more time in all its glory. This is the time lapse of the century plant's growth. Earlier this summer, the plant shot up more than 20 feet after coasting under the radar for years. It blooms just once in its lifetime before dying. After months of visitors, well, we've been telling you that time has finally come, but it drew a lot of visitors.
I know, that was my favorite part. That's my path right into work.
Yeah.
And every day I get to talk to people,
really cool.
Come by to check it out.
This week, we get another look at the Carolina Panthers' new starting quarterback, Bryce Young.
The team's second preseason game is Friday. The Panthers will get a shot at redemption against the New York Giants. You can catch all the action Friday at 7 p.m. right here on WREL. And high school football is starting up as well. I can't believe it's that time, but don't miss High School OT Live each Friday at 7 o'clock in the High School OT app and whenever you stream WREL TV.
That's it for us here. Thank you so much for joining us.
See you back here at 10 and 11.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.